its current state on 90.5 WKAR. Each month, current state weekend host Emmanuel Berry sits down with historian David Vada to rediscover forgotten bits of Michigan's history. Vada is the community engagement librarian at the Midwest Collaborative for Library Services. This month, they decided to discuss the history of werewolves in Michigan. Yes, there is a history. In fact, according to legends, werewolves have been around Michigan for a long time. We're talking before Cadillac, back to the 1690s, when a young nun became the object of a voyager's affections. David explains what a nun has to do with werewolves.
This comes from the French pioneer period, so we're late 17th century, and there were the Europeans settling around Lake St. Clair. And they brought their legends with them from the old world. I mean, we're still just a generation removed from the height of the witch craze in Europe. So people that they knew could very well have been involved in the persecution of witches and werewolves there. They come to the New World and they bring their stories with them. The story revolves around a young woman who was living in what is now Grosse Pointe. And she was pure of heart and wanted to become a nun. And there is this lascivious woodsman who takes a shine to her, and he tries to woo her, and she wants nothing to do with him. And she's just explaining, you know, she's devoting herself to the Catholic Church. He takes none of that and goes to find a what is described as a Native American witch, which doesn't – that's a kind of transposing of cultures right there. And she makes a deal, brokers a deal between him and Satan, and gives him the power to turn into a wolf. She has been praying at a rock on Lake St. Clair as an altar.
This is the nun. The nun has been praying.
Yes. And she's traveling through the woods. She's going to become a nun, and he finds her alone in the wilderness, and he transforms and begins chasing her. And he goes, and as he touches the rock that she has been praying at, he's transformed to stone.
So it's a kind of a play almost on Medusa in some ways.
It's an allegory. Mm-hmm. She is, you know, it's about the duality of man, good versus evil, and also that in nature she is frolicking in the benevolent nature and is pure. He is all the carnal bad parts of us. I mean, many werewolf stories are based around concepts of serial killers and the base animalistic part of us, and that's where that comes from.
Now, you already kind of touched on it a little bit, but it's a strange mix. We've got this Native American element in there, this French folklore. What type of Native American legends talk about werewolves, or is that even a thing, really?
I mean, in the Southwest, you have the Skinwalkers. It's a very different culture. The Mohawks had a variation of warriors that could turn into wolves, but they were not evil at all. It was an aspirational. They took on the good, courageous parts of a wolf. The closest they would come would be something like a Wendigo, which is more of a vampire ghoul. They are associated with cannibalism. They're associated with the north and winter, late winter. They had a taboo against cannibalism. Mm-hmm. And so the Wendigo can be interpreted two ways. It can be as a cautionary tale that don't eat human flesh or you turn into the Wendigo, or an explanation that in the end of winter when there's starvation and famine and there's nothing else to eat, and there are those that have not been buried yet because of the winter, you do have to partake in that to survive. And it's explained away because it wasn't you that did it. You were consumed by the Wendigo, and it was the Wendigo that did it.
Kind of interestingly, at the time when there's sort of this shift in the werewolf legends from French to in imposing kind of them onto Native American legends, there's actual werewolf-like activities, I guess, going on in France. There's this man-eating, wolf-like animal that's terrorizing the province of Govendon. It's injuring hundreds of people, and this is documented. This is not like a made-up story. So what is going on here?
All the facts aren't out, but in the 1760s, there was a series of events. It's referred wrapped around this beast of Govan Don, and it was described as a large wolf-like animal, sometimes with a long tail, and there were 60 to 100 people killed over a number of years. The creature has large teeth, and there's been a lot of conjecture. Was it some sort of dire wolf holdover from prehistoric times? Was it a big cat? Was it a hyena? That's been conjecture. Was it some sort of wolf-mastiff hybrid? What supposedly happens is it was killed, and there are two dissecting stories about this. One is that it was identified as a wolf and it was put on display. There are other stories that it was identified as a hyena at that point and also put on display, but it's also been, the body was destroyed. And later on, there was legend about it being wrapped in, it was shot by a silver bullet, but that is until much later that story comes in. But there were dozens of people killed by this creature, when we still don't know what it was. That's a real story.
Now, another legend close to home, and this is one that many Michiganders have probably heard of, and that is the myth of the Dog Man, which is chronicled in the 1987 song, The Legend. We'll play a little bit of that here.
The decades come, the decades go, people still swear they see. Interlock and Reed City, Mackinac, there was something looking back at me. And somewhere in the Northwoods darkness, a creature walks upright. And the best advice you may ever get is don't go out at night.
The song The Legend there, that song was originally aired kind of as an April Fool's prank, but after it played, many people called into the station about the song. So I want to go back to the origins of Dogman, and that's all the way back into the 1880s. So how does this myth of the Dogman come to be?
It actually being called the Dogman isn't until modern times, mm-hmm. but what the people in, mostly this is northwestern Michigan, kind of like Manistee forest, they still had the legends, these French pioneer legends of werewolves and lumberjacks. A wolf was caught in a trap and its foot was cut off, and then the lumberjacks come back to camp and they realize that one of the other lumberjacks has his hand cut off. And when the story evolved in around the song, they transposed these werewolf stories onto the Dogman legend. So that's mm-hmm. where the Dogman has come from. And there's a series of books that have been put out about it. And it shows up in cryptozoology books. Also in Wisconsin, there are stories about a similar creature.
Why do you think these legends about werewolves persist? And in particular, why did they persist in Michigan?
We have a cultural heritage. It's bringing with the stories where our forebears had these part of them. It's the same thing as fairy tales. I mean, for generation after generation, you tell the same stories. And around campfires at night, you've heard a story from your grandfather or another person that it's a good story to tell.
David Vada is the Community Engagement Librarian at the Midwest Collaborative for Library Services, and he's a historian. You'll hear more from David in the coming months as part of Current State's Forgotten History segment.
Even the man whose heart is pure and says his prayers at night can change to a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the full moon shining bright.